so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here with From Start to Finish. Today we have on the line Phil Cook. He is the Christian media go-to guy. If you have any questions regarding Christian media, Phil Cook is the guy, or just media period. He's been at this for a long time, and today we're going to receive some of his wisdom. We're going to find out how he started and know his background and just his passion and what got him started. How are you doing today, Phil?
I'm doing great, Christina. Thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled to have you. I was introduced to your book, Branding Faith, a long time ago, and then I just started eating up everything that you do. You really teach us how to engage, influence, and transform. So tell us about yourself. How did you get started?
My dad was a pastor, so I've worked behind the scenes in church for most of my life, and I actually started college as a music major, but I'd done a lot of short films when I was in high school. Back in those days, it was Super 8 film. My dad mm-hmm. took my dad's home movie camera, and we made mafia movies and army movies and war movies and space movies and whatever. And when I got to college, I discovered you could actually edit those things. I had a guy across the hall from me take me down to the film department and show me how to actually edit and put these things together. And it was a revelation. And the professor was down there and started watching one of my little movies and asked me if he could show it in his class. So he did. I said, sure, if I could sit in the back row. And he did. And we watched it and the class discussed it. And the film was nothing, trust me, it was nothing to scream about. But at that moment, I had this amazing revelation that if I could do something with a camera that makes people talk like this, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. So I changed my major that day, and I've never looked back.
Wow. So your story is completely different than almost everyone else's story. Most of us kind of like fell into Christian media, as opposed to you were introduced to it and kind of raised in it for a long time. So you've seen the history in a big way. What passion, what brought you to Christian media? Because you really focus on Christian media a lot. How come you haven't, you know, changed or switched or stayed, you know, to the far left or to the far right?
Well, I've done a little bit of everything over the years. We've done Super Bowl commercials. We've done a lot of major spots for car companies like Mercedes and all different kind of companies. But, you know, over the years, I think that if I can go to Africa and film something that really matters, or go to India and film a documentary that tries to tell an important story, ultimately that's a lot more fulfilling than doing another ketchup commercial. Mm-hmm. So although we've certainly been involved in a lot of non-Christian projects, I keep getting pulled back to trying to tell stories that really matter. And so I think when I get to my deathbed, that'll mean more to me than having done another car commercial. So we try to focus. I'm open to non-Christian things. Mm-hmm. However, we just find that our sweet spot is probably telling those stories of nonprofit organizations, ministries, churches, things like that. So that's what we really focus on.
Nice. And in the crowded world of the internet, because so you were around when, you know, internet was not as fanciful as it is now. How do you remain relevant and authentic? I think that's always people's biggest issue. We kind of like we scatter everywhere trying to keep up. How do you stay grounded?
Well, not just relevant. I was around before the internet was ever thought of, before it was ever thought of, before faxes were ever thought of. So I have been around a long time. And I think the key is I have a quote on my desk. I have a little paperweight with a quote from Michelangelo that says, "I'm always learning." And I thought, if Michelangelo, the great, possibly the greatest artist of all time, can always be learning, then so can Phil Cook. And so I think a key is having this real hunger to know what's coming next. Push out the boundaries of what I do know. And I'm always looking for innovative new stuff. I think we start dying the minute we start resting. And I have too many friends that started out doing what I was doing back in those days. And now they're selling insurance, or they're working at the mall, or they're working in real estate, largely because they just didn't stay hungry. And so I think keeping that hunger, always wanting to find out what's next, what's coming, that's a real key to staying relevant as times change, as technology changes, and as culture changes.
I am loving this. Chauncey Johnson, Knew Him, off of Circle 1993. We'll be right back.
Man, guess I'ma catch me a ride to church. Wake up early, find some slacks that'll match my shirt. But I think they dirty, guess these jeans gon' have to work. I feel so unworthy, choir sing, preach, preach. Talking about a man that died for me, bore my sins and he set me free. Tell me why he did that all for me. Probably never see him walking down the street. Walk right past, no words
and
speak.
And I never talk. Knew him. I never knew him. The son of the king, but if he never ever died for us on Calvary, every time I think about it, tears come to my eyes. How a man give his life, come and I sacrifice.
How does church media suck? So that's like your tagline, helping people not suck at media. So
well, your podcast is not long enough for me to go into Christian media sucks.
Okay.
You know, a lot.
Some key
reasons.
Yeah.
I can give you a couple big ones. One is that we worry so much about the message, we forget about the way we share the message. And so very often we're trying so hard to cram the gospel into this movie or this television program or this short film that we don't make a good film or a good television program. And trust me, you have to write a great book, film a great movie, produce a great TV program first, and then worry about getting the message in there. So that's one of the big reasons. We're just trying so hard to cram the message in that we really put it in a bad movie. The other thing, too, is we think for some reason that, you know, God's going to really take care of the fact that we're not very experienced with writing or acting or directing or producing. And so we move ahead. I wrote my blog today, at philcook.com. I write a blog, Cook with an E, by the way. But I wrote a blog post today about screenwriting, why screenwriting is a lot harder than you think. It's a real skill. And I find very often, this is not true all the time, but very often Christians just aren't willing to put in the time. They're not willing to put in the work. Most Christians will write a screenplay and think this is the big one. The very first one I write is the big one. And yet you'd never consider a concert musician to be ready for a concert the first day they practice piano. So I think we need to really understand that it takes a long time. Most successful writers in Hollywood, for instance, have a drawer full of screenplays they would never show anybody in a million years. But those are the screenplays that help them understand their craft. And so putting in the time really matters.
Definitely. So what would you tell aspiring entrepreneurs in media? What would be one of your key advices that you would give? Because, you know, everything is at our disposal, yet everyone continues, not everyone, but a good portion of us continue to make media that is not authentic. It's not relevant. It's crammed. What would you say to an aspiring media outlet wannabe guru? What would you tell them?
Well, there's one controversial thing I say quite often, and that is stop following your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting that passion is great. And if you can hook up your passion with what you're really wired to do, that's awesome. However, I get screenplays all the time from writers who are incredibly passionate about writing, but they stink at it. They're just terrible at it. Or I see short films from directors who are incredibly passionate about directing, but they don't have a shred of talent at directing. So very often we feel like if we're passionate about something, that's all we need. I wrote my book, One Big Thing, Discovering What You Were Born to Do, because I really think people should stop for a moment and take a look at a bigger picture. And that bigger picture is, what am I actually wired to do? What did God put me on the earth to accomplish? It may not be something I feel passionate about now, but if you get plugged in, figure it out, and move forward in that, trust me, you'll become very passionate about it, because excellence really spawns passion. So I think stop thinking just because you love doing something that's what you were called to do. Take the time to figure out Was I really wired to be a writer? Was I really wired to be an actor, a producer, a media creator, an editor, whatever? Really take the time to figure out what your gifts, your talents are. And the other premise of the book is obviously you can't do everything. Too many of us, I think, try to do it all. And certainly when we're young, when we're just in starting out in the business, we have to kind of do a little bit of everything. It's like a new business owner doesn't just keep the books and run the business and lead the team. He sweeps the floor at night and does a little bit of everything. But as we grow and as we move up the ladder, we need to start letting go of things and start focusing on that one big thing that you were really called to do. In essence, Christina, my feeling is it's time to stop being average at a lot of things and start being extraordinary at one big thing.
Wow, that's great. That's great. I find that, you know, a lot of people do follow their passion and then they discover, hey, I'm really not good at what I'm passionate about. And we find that often in music. I've seen so many people try music and it's like, you might want to be a writer or something else. This is not your lane.
Well, there's a great quote out there that from Dorothy Parker, who is a terrific writer, who said, I hate writing, but I love having written. And so very often the agony of learning your lines for an actor or writing the script for a writer or doing your homework as a director is agony. It's not fun. It's not a picnic. But once you've accomplished something significant, oh, gosh, there's just an incredible rush that comes with that. So very often it's worth every minute of all that agony that you put in. So it's just not about finding stuff you like or enjoy doing. I think too many people spend years doing something they like only to discover that's just not really something I'm good at or I'm wired to accomplish. So, yeah, start focusing on what gifts, what talents you have, what you're wired to do. What's that one big thing that I could do better than anybody else? And that's the direction you should go.
Here's your man, The Truth, off of his Heartbeat album, Press, featuring Papa Son.
I got it. I got it. I ain't got no fast flow. Life is a fiasco. Stuff don't make me happy. Money causing cash flow. If I fall on hard times, I cry if I have to. Homie, I got joy though, and it's supernatural. Never left me out to dry. I got on my bedroll. Cross my heart and hope to God. I try not to cast stones. God told me to trap mine, and I heard the glass broke. I ignore them death threats, cause I'm under his shadow. And I feel like I'm in a race car, crash course. When I'm in a drought and the bottom drop, that ain't do not pass go. Life is full of pressure. I could lose all my possessions, even when depression's on me. I'ma bless him, I'ma trust him for real.
No, he slay me, I go bless him. No, he slay me, I go bless him. No, he slay me, I go bless him. No, he slay me, me still trust him for real. No, he slay me, I go bless him. No, he slay me, I go bless him. No, he slay me, I go bless him.
Watching me nah go flash it. If I door me nah go lock it. If I bless him me nah go block it. Cause no hole nah in a me pocket. Zoom. Ha! Him a me guide and me shield. Give me pass, make me kneel. Come my God, this too real. Give me peace and move the stress and move depression. Give me the rest. Cause my God, them are the best. And him clean up all the mess. And take me up and down the step. And take me through the wilderness. I don't know, send me past the test. Cause me God, them are the best. Nevertheless, no disrespect. Cause me love me daddy inflex. Ha! Gotta be guide and shield. So me no worry, me no fret. My God.
Yeah.
How do you get past your rough areas, places that are agonizing, the places that you really don't want to? How do you overcome your writer's block or, you know, when you got to work on a treatment and you really don't want to work on it? How do you deal with those places?
Routine. I've discovered routine is the key. You know, it's interesting that creativity, there was a book that came out just a year or so ago called Daily Rituals. It's a little book, but they track 60 of the most creative people in the world over the last 100 years, artists, writers, inventors, thinkers, philosophers, really creative people. And all they do in the book is track their daily routine. And what they find out is that in almost every case, the most creative people of the last 100 years were slaves to a routine. Every day they went in and sat down and did the work. I often tell writers that the art of writing is the art of connecting the seat of your pants to the seat of a chair. And what I find is if you can get into a rhythm, rhythms become habits. And so if you can show up every day at the same time, sit down and do the work, it's going to be tough. It's just like training for the Olympics. The first, you know, series of workouts is really hard because you're getting your body in shape. But once you get into the rhythm and the routine of it, you start expecting it. You start looking forward to it. You get into a real flow. And so, for instance, I discovered that I'm the most creative between 6 a.m. and noon. If I can write in the morning, I'm a machine. I can just crank it out, and it's really, really good compared to in the afternoon and evening. I'm worthless after lunch when it comes to real intense creativity. So I've tried to create a routine. It's a struggle for me because I travel an enormous amount. We do a lot of client work, and I'm constantly on the road. So one of my greatest challenges is fixing that daily routine about being able to write first thing in the morning, because that's when I'm absolutely at my best. And so I discovered that the best way to get through difficult, challenging times and those bumps is to develop that routine, because that's what will carry you.
One of the things that I'm always extremely, my ears pop when people talk about books that they read, because any person that has made influence in this world and has made lasting influence is a reader, and writers are readers as well. So what are some of the books that you hold very true to you? Like, what books have influenced you the most as a writer, director, as a person?
That's a tough question. I read so much. And by the way, I just got a Kindle for Christmas and I love it. I love it.
Man, I got one too. The Paperwhite, and I was like, where was this all my life?
I know. I've destroyed my shoulders carrying, you know, lugging books around my whole life. And every time I go on a trip, I carry 2 or 3 books in my briefcase, and it's killing me. And I'll tell you, Kindle is awesome. Now, the problem with a Kindle is if I don't have a lot of books on my shelf, people won't know that I'm smart. So it's got a downside. But it's a revelation. But I'll tell you, really, for me, I think the key is the mix of things I read. I read novels. I read a lot of media books. I read leadership books. I read a lot of history. I'm reading a history of the writers that came out of World War I right now. Really weird stuff, things that you wouldn't connect with being a filmmaker or a media consultant or a producer, but things that feed me. I'm a huge museum hound. My wife Kathleen and I can't go to a city anywhere in the world without checking out the museums. And so I think the key to a creative life is getting input from all kinds of sources. So if all you read is business books, you're being it's malnutrition here. If all you're reading is leadership books, that's only a part of the mix. If all you're reading is novels, that's only a part of the mix. I think it's important that you rotate. In fact, I have a stack of books on my desk that I'm going through, and I'm very carefully mixing them up so that as I go through, I'm getting different influences from different sources. I think that's really the key. So for me, it's not so much the 4 or 5 books that have meant the most to me. It's how I mix up the type of genres and styles of books that I'm reading, because I think it's important. So the bottom line is read and read a lot.
Read a lot. Keep reading on, guys.
Well, you know, I have discovered the best writers are also insane readers. Mm-hmm. So that's a key thing.
Yeah, because you're always coming up with ideas when you're reading. When you're reading, it's not like you're stuck in the world of your own head, but the writers that you're reading are actually piquing your interest and having you think about things that you didn't think about before. So I completely...
I'm an obsessive underliner, by the way. Absolutely
obsessed. My husband hates that I write in books, so... I write in books, I underline, I highlight. Like, it's not... I haven't read it if I haven't, like, dug in it and just destroyed it and broke down everything.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Break it down, write it, underline it, make notes in the side. In fact, I make notes and Twitter it later just so it'll remind me. Very important.
Let's take it back just a little bit real quick with Alicia Keys, Unbreakable.
This song right here is something brand new for y'all. It's called Unbreakable. Y'all listen. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands. Come on, keep it going. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's do it. You ready? Come on. We could fight like I
you balance social media for yourself? You know, the reason I found you is because of social media, Twitter, years and years ago now. So how do you balance that for yourself? I noticed that you're very consistent in those things.
You know what? It's a little easy for me because I'm a little on the ADD side. So, you know, something like Twitter with 140 characters is my second language. You know, I speak in short bursts. I think in short bursts like that. So I just get a kick out of it. And I think we don't realize the power of social media. I have, you know, nearly 30,000 followers on Twitter, which means I don't tell them I'm at Starbucks. You know, I don't show them pictures of my lunch. I want to feed them something significant. That means 30,000 people have signed up to hear what I have to say on Twitter. So I take that very seriously. And I think artists, creatives, media professionals should take social media more seriously. I think it's a far greater tool for professional development and for extending your influence and your message than we possibly imagine. So absolutely, I would encourage people to take Facebook, Twitter, you know, everybody's moving to Instagram. They're all going to be around. Nothing's going away anytime soon. But I would say find the two or three platforms that you're most comfortable in, start sharing your message that way, and understand that you have enormous amounts of influence in that medium because that's so incredibly important.
Cool. And what's your thought on education at this point? I know you have a PhD in theology. Are you the same way that you were passionate about education as you were growing? Are you still as passionate about education the formal way, or are you suggesting that people self-educate as a lot of us are nowadays?
Well, I get asked that a lot, actually. That's a tough question. I like going to school. I always have liked going to school. However, I recognize that today college is like an insanely expensive proposition. And, you know, my own children, we walked away from college with enormous debt. So I totally understand. It's a different world than we live in today. However, if it's possible through scholarships, through work programs, whatever, I think you cannot You cannot discount the value of an education. I didn't stop at my bachelor's degree. I went and got a master's in journalism, and then, like you say, a PhD in theology, just because I'm always really hungry for that. However, if you're in a place where that's not possible, as you say, self-educating, pushing yourself is an incredibly important key. The secret is it's like working out. I don't work out very hard when I work out by myself, and so. People who say, well, I'm just educating myself, I question how hard they're really pushing themselves. If you're self-disciplined and can do that, fantastic. That's great. Run with it. But I can't. I need to be pushed. I need to, when it comes to working out, I need a coach or a trainer or a teacher or an instructor to really push me. So that makes a difference for me. I think being in a classroom is, I'm more comfortable there. But the bottom line is, however you do it, just do it.
Nike, just do it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very encouraged by your conversation today. If you haven't checked this brother out, Coke Campbell, this is off of his EP. The song is called Statistic.
My status, my value is so much greater for me to come out of character. Misbehavior. What are them true believers that's gonna set it off? No more wasting time holding back. I'm about to set it out. It's an art and true holy living. I'ma show it off. Stir it up on the stove in the kitchen. I'ma cook it up. Let the people feel the heat. I'ma tell it like it is. Everybody wants to know the truth. Well, here it is. I'm victorious in front and behind closed doors. Keep repping God till the day that I die. I ain't gon' burn in hell with no regret. So I'ma live my life to the very best. Ain't nobody gonna stop me from being that chosen one.
What are some tools that you're using as our last question?
You know what? That's a good question. The tools that I use mostly because I'm producing and writing more than directing and editing like in the old days, pretty much using the tools everybody does. I have a Mac. I have my to-do list. I have a program called Things that helps me keep track of stuff. But as far as Word and Pages and things like that, I've got the same tools as everybody else. So I think the key thing is I think you should if you're a camera person or an editor, I think you should invest in the tools that will help you do your job. I get tired of hearing people say, my boss won't buy me this computer. I can't get the company to get me this laptop. Hey, if you believe in yourself and you believe in your career and you feel like you're called to do something, invest in yourself. Go out and do whatever it takes to get it. I think that's really important. But the truth is, in this day and age, you can accomplish incredible amounts without getting the most expensive camera out there, without getting the most expensive computer out there. There's some remarkable things you can do. So it's not really about apps so much. It's really about drive. It's really about motivation and purpose. I think that's more important than anything.
Yeah, it's about using what you have as opposed to thinking that you can't do what you want with what you have. So thank you so much today for joining us. Remember, you can check out Phil at philcook.com. That's philcook with an e.com. He's just an amazing person to follow on Twitter, on Instagram, on any place. And he answers back. So check him out. Phil, you have anything to say to the peoples?
Christina, I've enjoyed it. Good, really good questions, and I appreciate you asking me. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Here is Eshawn Burgundy off of his anticipated album, The Fear of God, with Respect, Power, and Money.
Promise that you ever made me. You never ever seem to acknowledge driving me crazy. In the process of accomplishing profit, gotta get in my pocket. We can't talk unless you offer to pay me. Baby, time is money. That's what they tell me. If it ain't about dollars, don't even bother hitting my celly. Trying to get food down in my belly bent. Trying to flood my chain fees. Bottles cost me money. Trying to maintain the perception of fame. Cause if it seemed like I got it, I could get it. Not only the check, but the respect that's coming with it. Then everybody gon' start asking how I did it. And the collected thought is that I'm a boss about my business. Really, I did it as a result of my sickness. I'm sick of being addicted to the need to be forgiven. Why? If I wanna do it, I'ma do it. They call it rebellion. I say the thought of heaven is stupid. I'm in control. This my life. I'm tryna live it like it's an extended highlight. Plenty women, my cars are one of a kind. My house big as a mall. From the stars, you see it fine. That's truly how I felt one time. Blasphemous, headed for jail time and hell time. Although I played with God, he never played with me. Could've killed me in my sin, but decided to set me
respect,
free.
Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. It's what they tell me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. They lying to me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. It's what they tell me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. They lying to me.
Each one teach one. Pray for a brother, cause I've been thinking about the money to buy a house for my mother, and I'm feeling desperate in this desolate land. If I could keep it 100, I'm hunting for 100 grand 100 times. Pay me or just pay me, no, never mind. I done ran out of favors as I waver in Lebanon. American summation, everything is a purchase. Money, power, respect, and speculating my person. And they see me trying to make ends meet. If dollars don't sleep, then me neither. I'm in deep, my wind's low. Call Carl and tell him that my family matter too. And I'm too into it, too true, trying to be not getting this loot. Notorious Jesus, please us with your thesis. On the back of a bill, it say that in God we trust. In the back of my mind, I know my belly is fully wicked. Wikipedia search me till I'm serving your full admission. Easy.
Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. It's what they tell me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. They lying to me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. It's what they tell me. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. Respect, power, and money. They lying to me.